Welcome to the UK Fantasy Football Show, Goals podcast that discusses many a football fan's favourite pastime. It's the very last game week of the season, and it's been a very long road, longer than any Premier League season in history, in fact, thanks to the coronavirus-enforced shutdown. We'll be looking at our game week scores, running through some top candidates for that final throw of the dice, captains or transfers, and looking at how our teams are shaping up for game week 38+. But first off this week, Dave, you had a 20-point advantage over me in second place heading into this week, but you didn't have the happiest of game weeks, did you?
I had an awful game week. An awful game week. Up until last night, I had 14 points, I think.
So I missed that.
If it hadn't have been for Trent Alexander-Arnold scoring an absolutely gorgeous free kick and racking up bonus points, it would have been maybe my bleakest week of the whole season. Which is very me, actually, when the pressure is on. Yeah, so I clearly made some poor decisions going into this game week, and they have come back and bitten me in an absolutely awful way.
You got 50 points, which, like, on the surface level, you know, it's not a terrible score, but it was actually quite a high-scoring week, wasn't it? And the average points for the week was 53, so much higher than I'd say it usually is. So it kind of put it into perspective. But then I guess what also played a factor in that was the very fortunate free hit of a week that I had, where it seemed like almost everything went right for me, where I got 80 points, which, considering I was a little bit sceptical of my tactics heading into this week with three Brighton players in my squad, it turned out to be a bit of a dream week. So I started so well with Pope getting 6 points. Brighton defenders, two of them, got me 14 points between them. Sterling got me 17 points. That was a nice little boon. Doherty got me 12 points, which isn't bad. The downside of that is that I had Johnny in as my first sub, who got me 13 points. So I could have done even better. And I had Dunk as well on my bench with 8 points. But Greenwood, Martial, Salah, Ings, they all got me something. It was pretty much just two players that didn't get me any points, really, which is Vardy and Mahrez. And I thought, maybe I could have dropped them for those other two players who had done better. But realistically, like, I don't think anyone in their right mind is going to start Dunk over Jamie Vardy, are they, really? You know, that's not a decision you'd typically make. So I don't think it was, I don't think I could have done too much better. Maybe starting Johnny instead of Webster. But, you know, I've still managed to get essentially an 11-point lead over you, which, considering I was 20 points behind, what was it, 5 days ago, I'll take that.
Yeah, sticking Sterling in was that's my regret. Like, it's just that's paid off dividends there for you in that game week. And I choosing Mahrez over him is just my biggest regret going into these last few game weeks. And it's painful watching him racking up the points. So yeah, and obviously
it's not Dave. It's not painful. It's brilliant.
You're enjoying it. Yeah. David Silva not playing as well was another massive blow for me this week. So, Pep kept him on the bench. Clear, I would like to think he's resting him for this last game. The testimonial match against Norwich. I also captained David Silva, which was, again, another terrible decision. Although my previous captain and vice-captain, Bruno Fernandes, seems to have disappeared off the face of the earth. So he's not really been racking up the points either for us. So
1 point he got, which is quite rare for him, isn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't seem to have had as much impact in the last couple of matches.
Sam,
no,
how about you?
How are you doing? Yeah, I did reasonably good, above average as usual. 63 points. I was pretty pleased because I took Sice out and transferred him in for Doherty. Sice didn't play. Doherty got 12 points. Before the Chelsea Liverpool match last night, I had Aurier on the bench, got another clean sheet, 6 points. I was like, saw Pulisic wasn't playing. I was like, I wouldn't mind if he doesn't come on. He did come on. I was like, at least I'll get a point or two. I've got 9 for him. So he has been, I've only had him in for a couple of game weeks, but he's pulled in 15 points. that's really good. And Martial, another assist, captained him still, bringing me 10. And Giroud got another goal. So, yeah, all my everything worked pretty tidily. I still had Bruno, and he got 1 point, obviously. And Maguire only got two. But the rest, apart from that, everyone gave me something.
Another strong game week. 100 points, 108 points clear you are now. So I think, well, you're not technically the champion yet, because I guess in some weird mathematical way, one of us could catch you, but it would take beyond a miracle, I think, at this point. So it would pretty much take you like removing all of your players and taking a minus 50 hit for us to have a chance.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do that. I think one of you'd have to get team of the week.
Yeah.
And I'd have to have a below, you know, a 20-point game, and you have to get, well, 140, 150 points. Yeah. So good luck. although I'm in a paid league with my brother, and he paid me last night.
Ah, right. Okay.
Paid you out.
Are you that far clear?
Yeah. You know, I'm enormously clear in that league, just like 90, 95 points. Not even triple figures, and he's paid out.
I mean, it would be quite a deal to catch you at that point, wouldn't it?
It would be. And I think that's still what spurs everyone on, because the look on my face doing the next podcast, if you indeed did catch me, would be television gold. And I did, about 6-7 years ago, I did chuck away a 45-point lead on the last day of the season.
That is quite something.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I've obviously got over it and forgotten about it.
And it's, you've learned from it. You've built on it.
Seared deep into my inner psyche that, you know, compounds every decision I make in my life now. But yeah, it's just a game. It's just a game, lads. Don't let it bother you.
In our public league, we don't have much movement, but Mian Al-Islam, who'd been top for quite a long period of the season, he's gained a little bit of ground over the leader, Graham Wilshaw, but there's still 26 points of daylight between them. Graham has fallen from the heady heights of around 180 in the world to 206th in the world now, so I'm sure he's devastated about that. But that is quite something. Podcast listeners and YouTube viewers, if you've not already signed up, then you can join our league and test yourself against us for this final game week. The code to type in on the FPL website is NHC4WZ. Let's move on then. So this week, our big talking point is what Hail Mary of a captain pick FPL managers can toss forwards for game week 38 plus. I'm sure in most leagues, you know, if you're certainly in a group league, there won't be people who will be over 100 points clear. There might be a couple of cases if you're in a small league, perhaps. But a lot of FPL managers might still be contending for the title in their league, or potentially trying to beat a mate, you know, finish above them, have bragging rights. Sam, as our champion-elect, let's start with you. Who are your three picks for this last-ditch play at rising the fantasy football table?
I think this topic should really be the Mikhail Antonio pick, because, you know, we saw that chap, you know, team of the week, because he triple captained Antonio when he scored four. No one would do that, but that would have made all the difference for his season. So I've gone with a similar mindset that the player that people, or players that people won't be captaining, people may have them, but the vast majority won't. So Traore, quite a lot of people still do have him. He's not a big goal scorer. I think he scored four maybe this season. But he's shown up in some big, big games. Like, you might remember, he destroyed Man City all by himself. I think he scored both matches against City as well. So I think with them Wolves playing Chelsea, desperate to win, to give themselves the best possible chance of playing in Europe again next season. And they're playing Chelsea as well. So Chelsea will score. We know that. Chelsea are also going to concede quite a lot. So, and the question with how many is just how many Chelsea will score. So I've earmarked Traore for 1 goal and 2 assists.
That's bold.
Yeah.
Because he's not scored at all since the lockdown ended.
I don't make the rules up. This is why it's a this is why it's called a Hail Mary mile.
They're called the facts, not the rules.
Yeah. It's called a Hail Mary, not a sure thing.
All right, mate. Okay. We'll see how that one goes then. Of all the Wolves players to pick, he'd certainly be down there right now. But you know, if you're gonna pick a left field choice that most others won't have, I guess.
Again,
so.
I bring you back to who in their right mind triple captains Mikel Antonio.
Well, that madman, to be fair, it was his first game week. So he was clearly
bullshit, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yes. No one is the answer to that.
Ruin it. Second, I've got Richarlison. It's easy-ish game against Bournemouth. He's bagged 3 in lockdown. So Calvert-Lewin, you know, isn't firing. So I think if anyone's going to give a little dusting of joy to Everton fans at the end of their season, it's going to be him. So I've put him down for 2 goals and assist. But unfortunately, a yellow card as well. So a worthwhile captain choice if you are desperate to try and claw back some points from Zuma. Because, you know, unfortunately, I think we're all in that position where we've got a lot of the same players. You know, a lot of people have got Sterling or Salah, De Bruyne, Martial, Rashford. So picking those players, someone different to those players, is the only way people will obviously make a decent leap with one game to go. And then third, this one's a bit obvious, but it's Mason Greenwood, and I'd give him the armband because I think cometh the hour, cometh the teenager. He's got 17 goals for United this season, which is the joint most ever, along with Brian Kidd, Rooney and George Best.
Yeah.
Really? But he's got at least 4 more games to play. So I think he's going to smash that. So I think on Sunday, he will have powered United to a Champions League place, taking the record for most goals scored by a teenager from United. He'll probably score about 5 more during the Europa League stages, which will then bring about the bigger question with Greenwood of, after him, who is the best ever teenager?
United?
No, ever. Yeah. Because I was having to think about it earlier. And I was like, well, obviously Greenwood's number one. And then the original Ronaldo at Cruzeiro and PSV and Barcelona was a phenomenal teenage talent. There was Rooney, Owen, I suppose Pele, if you count him.
He's not even the best teenager of the last 10 years.
Pele?
No, Greenwood.
Get out of town. Of course he is.
No, he's not. Mbappe. Mbappe was better as a teenager than Greenwood.
Nah. Mbappe just got a better marketing agency behind him.
just top scored and won a league title and won a World Cup. That's nothing.
Yeah, but it was Liga, wasn't it? That's, you know, winning the title is nothing compared to getting 3rd or 4th place in the Premier League. That's the real trophy, Miles. So, yeah, right. I think it's a really good debate. You know, we could have on a different podcast maybe as to who that second best ever teenager is. And yeah, all aboard the Mason train.
That seems like a good shout, to be fair. He got, was it 9 points this game week? After a bit of a quiet period, I guess. He hadn't been quite as free scoring in the past few games, but he's so cheap. Like, he's such an FBL bargain. Like, if you want someone, a third striker who's going to get you some points, there's not anyone really better right now. So captain's certainly bold, but they have, Leicester, isn't it? Yeah. Defense certainly leaves something to be desired. Scored conceded 3 against Spurs during midweek. Have lots of their top defenders out at the moment. All right, I'll go through mine next then. So, first off, and I think this is probably my favourite of the 3 picks, is Raheem Sterling, who had a brilliant week for me. 17-point haul. Made me wonder, where have you been all my life? I've barely had him all season. I don't think I've had him all season, in fact. Maybe right at the start when he was scoring quite freely, and then he stopped, and I think most FPL managers dropped him. But the past six game weeks, he's bagged 17 points, 1 point, because he played half the match, 21 points, 10 points, another 1 point, and then 16 points. The problem, I guess, with Sterling is that he isn't getting consistently sort of low double figures, but he's either smashing out of the park with 15 plus, or he's not scoring and he's getting pulled off or getting thrown on for a cameo and he's getting 1 point. But you would think, you know, last game of the season, Pep will like to go out with a bit of a bang. And it's always tricky trying to decide on if you wanted to captain or even pick a Man City player, who's that going to be? But Sterling right now, for me, is the person you would probably gravitate towards. Most of the season, it was probably De Bruyne because he was just so damn consistent. And there probably is a case to be made for De Bruyne being a bit of a backup option. But he's not scored more than 7 points in any of his last five matches, De Bruyne. Whereas with Sterling, it's three of the last five, maybe even four of the last five. So if you're going to pick
a good shout. It is a good shout. I think Sterling, he's been the absolute FPL pick for the last few games from the Man City team. I was thinking about putting him in as a transfer, but there's that fear that he will be benched or something. Like, it could easily happen and Mahrez will go in. Despite the fact Sterling's been on fire and he's been producing the goods for them. I don't think that even comes into the equation when selecting the Man City team, necessarily how a player played in the last game. It's probably just more to do with, has he done enough for a rest, you know, which he would say he has. It's just like, you spend your time trying to get into a bit of the mind of like how the players are picked in the Man City team. So,
A roulette wheel.
Yeah, De Bruyne has been disappointing, really, because when you watch the Man City games, you're kind of like, come on, he's going to do something. But really, he's doing that thing where he's just like floating around and just making everything come together, which doesn't really get you any points at FPL, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess some of that motivation in the league, at least, is gone, hasn't it? And maybe he's saving some of that energy for the Champions League in August.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, so there's pick one. Pick two is a player who I have actually gone with my captain at the moment. I would have gone Sterling if I could afford him, but I can't. So instead, I've gone for Aubameyang. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Arsenal have, I think it's Watford, isn't it, this game week, at home. Now, they were pretty disappointing, to say the least, against Villa. But Villa do have much more to play for at this point. I know Arsenal are in contention, you could argue, for Europa League place, but realistically their better chance was winning the FA Cup. Now obviously they're doing all right there. You're gonna have Chelsea in the final. They knocked out Man City. They've had some pretty good results in recent weeks where they defeated Liverpool, of course, new reigning champions. But yeah, the Villa one was a setback. I don't think many people would have thought they would fail to score against Villa, who by all accounts don't have the best of defences. But Watford are another kettle of fish. You know, Watford are a team without a manager at the moment. They're a team who are often conceding a lot of goals. Aubameyang, the reason I'm sort of gravitating towards him is because the last time Arsenal played a team that looked really, really crap was against Norwich a few match weeks ago. And he absolutely smashed it then. And I think I had him as my captain then as well. So that's the similarities are there and are drawing me towards it. And he'll probably get 2 points and do fuck all, but I'm living in hope that he will get a few points and finish Arsenal's league season at least with a bit of a cherry on top before they head towards the FA Cup final next week. What are your guys' thoughts on Aubameyang? Reckon he'd be a decent pick?
Yes, I think he will. I think it will be. Could very well be his last game for Arsenal. Well, no, because he'll play the FA Cup final, won't he? It could be his last Premier League game. So I think it's worth a shout. He is Arsenal's goal scorer, isn't he? So if you're going to back anyone, I'd back it. I'd like what Arteta is doing with Arsenal at the moment. Obviously, it's not perfect, but nor is Arsenal's squad and the tools he has to work with. So, he is very much the jewel in that crown, so it's worth a shout. He's still a lot of cash, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's probably more one that if you have him already, or if you have a striker that's quite expensive and you're thinking about cashing in, then he's probably a decent decent captain pick. But I certainly, if I didn't have Aubameyang in my team, I wouldn't try to force him in. I'd probably go towards Sterling if I really wanted to make a big money transfer. But I've got Aubameyang still, so I'm going with him.
Yeah, all my money's tied up in midfielders. You know, up front, I've got a 4.3, 6.7 and 8.1. So I'd have to do some very creative accounting to be able to fit him in. And I just see midfielders as better value than attackers at the moment.
Is Lacazette a shout at all? I mean, he scored against Liverpool, then scored against, who was it, last week they played? Oh, no, they lost last week, didn't they?
He scored against...
He scored the last two for Arsenal, hasn't he?
Yeah, he scored against Spurs. He scored against Spurs. He scored against Liverpool. He scored against Wolves, I think it was.
And he got an assist against Liverpool as well. So he has racked up a few points in the last few game weeks. Just as if you don't count the 1-0 defeat to Villa this week. But
yeah. He's been more consistent than Aubameyang for points. Yeah, you know, Aubameyang kind of like, there's only two match weeks since the lockdown ended that he's been getting any points in, really. But he's that sort of player that, you know, he scores one in a match, he might score two or three. So, hence, sticking with him. My third pick, by the way, is Jamie Vardy. So, this is the one I'm least confident about. It certainly is a Hail Mary in more of the sense that Sam is talking about, the Antonios of the world. Now, I think Leicester still have a chance of beating Man United. I'm less confident now than I was last week with them having been smashed by Spurs. I think that United probably are slight favourites now, even though it's an away match against another team competing for the Champions League place. But Leicester's defence, I think, you know, it's fair to say, is looking ropey at the moment, as we've already discussed. But for me, the difference in this could potentially be Vardy, because he is such a big game player. He does turn up in those matches that Leicester need him to. He is a really streaky player, so, you know, if he scores one, he might score a couple, one, two or three, a bit like Aubameyang. And, you know, United's defence is far from foolproof, as we saw this week with conceding against West Ham, and before that, at the weekend, the FA Cup against Chelsea. You know, there are some things there that they could certainly do with working on, I guess, in between the seasons. But so, yeah, for me, Vardy is the sort of player who you'd want to throw in and potentially could do really well. It's the sort of player he'd really love to troll United and get those points. And, you know, it's been... They only had one season, didn't they, in the Champions League, Leicester, and I'm sure they'd like to be back. And Brendan Rodgers, although his team has fallen apart a little bit, he is still a pretty decent manager. And I don't know. It'll definitely be probably the most interesting match for me, that on Sunday, the Leicester-Man United one.
Yeah, I can just see those games, though, like the Chelsea, Wolves and Leicester-Man United. I can see them being tense and quite... I don't expect high-scoring matches there, but... We'll see, won't we?
Yeah, I mean, it could certainly be tense. I think that'll make it quite an interesting watch. I think, you know, if the two teams draw, then and Leicester lose against Wolves, then they could both go up. So there's going to be, you know, a little bit of a thing in the balance there. Wolves certainly, you know, they're sixth. So we've got third, fourth, fifth and sixth all playing against each other in the last game week, which is quite neat. And I don't think any of those fixtures are necessarily easy to call. So it'll certainly be interesting. I mean, it's good that we have something going into the final game week to be interested to watch again. What about you, Dave? Who have you gone for as your three wildcard picks?
First and foremost, in the great knowledge that has seen me reach third in our league of three, I have picked Antonio from West Ham. He's on a roll, and West Ham looked quite good. I was quite impressed with them against Man United. There was parts of that match where they looked like a totally different team to the team we saw earlier on in the season. So Antonio's reaping the benefits of that at the moment. Obviously, he got a ridiculous 26 points against Norwich or something. Did he score? Was it three or four goals?
He scored four, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. So. 7 points against Watford and 9 against Man United. Takes penalties for them, and they go into the last game week against Aston Villa. So I'm kind of expecting a decent performance from West Ham, but who knows? Antonio could be a bit of a differential captain pick, if you like it was for the guy we mentioned earlier. But yeah, he seems to be, David Moyes seems to have got pretty decent team together at the moment, and they look pretty good, the West Ham. So we can see.
It's a good thing about that. And he looks, I don't know, extremely confident, which, you know, he scored 8 goals during lockdown, so I can appreciate why he would be full of confidence. And I think he's obviously going to be reasonably physically dominant against a lot of teams. And if he's getting into those positions and believing he can get on the end of crosses, then I think he could easily bag a couple. Good shout.
Yeah. Can Villa still survive going into the last game of the season? Yeah, yeah. So they've still got something to play for. So it's, yeah. But I haven't really seen anything from Villa that, I don't know. I think they're doomed, really. Like, it's,
I think they've got, of all the three teams, they've probably got a decent chance. Obviously, they're out of the bottom three at the moment, which always works in your favour psychologically. But they've got the better goal difference against Watford. So they know that if they don't get smashed, then they've got a good chance of staying up. Bournemouth would have to beat Everton, which away from home might be quite difficult. And Watford would have to lose by fewer goals to Arsenal than Villa would lose to West Ham. And I just think all those things coming into play, like Watford really did blow it over the sort of, well, Watford blew it and also Villa came back into it. But I would have said, if you'd asked me a week ago who's going down, I wouldn't have thought that Villa could survive. But they've pulled off a great win, and you have to say, with the way that the goal differences have changed, that they've got a decent chance now.
Yeah, just looking at that, the only, like, what could happen there is Bournemouth pull themselves out of it if Villa do get, are on the end of a bit of a hammering. Bournemouth beating Everton is more likely than Watford picking up anything. And Villa's game could go either way, I suppose, but like I've just said, I fancy West Ham in it. So, yeah, that would be quite an achievement by Bournemouth as well if they did manage to stay up on the last game of the season with an impressive win against Everton. Who's been the better side out of the two throughout the season? I'm not sure, really, between Bournemouth and Villa. Probably Villa, maybe, just.
Well, it's Villa by 3 points at the moment, isn't it? I think if anyone's going to survive, and it'd be a bit more of a miracle, it would be Watford, though. Because I think before Pearson signed and joined them as their manager, I think they'd won like one all season, and they were so deeply rooted to the bottom to still be in it on the last day of the season. It's actually pretty remarkable. Obviously, Pearson has since been sacked. Just Watford reasons, I suppose.
Such a brutal club to be a manager at is Watford. You know, the wind blows in the wrong direction and you're gone.
Exactly. So I think, you know, he's not there anymore. But if they do somehow survive, and I don't think they will, I do think the Watford hierarchy will owe Nigel Pearson
a few beers.
Yeah.
He gets a bonus, doesn't he, if they stay up anyway? Yeah, he gets a bonus if they avoid relegation, even though he's gone.
We've got another gatecrasher.
Some guest appearances on this podcast.
Yep. Just playing hide and seek behind me, so just carry on.
Who else have you gone with, Dave?
So my second pick would be Mo Salah. Although it's not exactly, this is a guy who's top point scorer in the midfielders in FPL. Don't know, does that make him top point scorer altogether so far this season? Yeah.
Side with De Bruyne.
Yeah. So Liverpool against Newcastle. Yep, they've got the title. They've got the hands on the trophy. Salah hasn't done much over the last few weeks, but maybe he'll sign off this season with at least a couple of goals in that game. So it's a bit of a, you know, I guess it's a kind of a bit of a could happen, couldn't happen, really, with him. It's, I mean, look at how he's done throughout the season, look at his points. I mean, it seems a bit strange, really, to me, because he's not one of the first names I think of when, I think of somebody that's kind of racking up the points week in, week out. But obviously, when he does score, he tends to get a second, and then rack up the bonus points, etc., etc. So, yeah, I suppose it's the same with De Bruyne, isn't it? It's almost like now they've got to the point where they're just strolling through the season. You know, it's just, they're just kind of, they haven't got anything to prove, have they, really?
I think
either of them.
I think Salah
as their captain when they've got a 10 to 15, 20 point hole to catch up at the end of the season is the sign of someone who's given up.
Maybe. I guess it depends who you're trying to catch. I mean, if they haven't got Salah and you've got one game, you know, because like my theory on captain was like you stick with people who are who tend to deliver. So
do you deliver? I'll deliver pizza.
Do you deliver? Yeah. Anyway, Mo Salah. And my final pick, I'm going to go for it. Whatever. You know, Pep left him out of the last match, but I think the game against Norwich, like I said before, will be. I think he'll start for Man City. It's David Silva, being one of the all-time greats in the Premier League. This looks like it'll be his final Premier League game for Man City. I think if he doesn't score, he'll get some assists. There's likely to get big points on the board.
He's definitely going to be on penalties as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I think it's going to. I do think it'll be like a testimonial for him this game. It'll be just like they seem to be picking him out anyway. You know, when he's been playing recently, just you know, he's just enjoying his last few matches with the club, and the rest of the team want him to enjoy these last few games and these last few chances he gets with them. So, a game against Norwich, you know, at home, final game of the season. I think, hopefully him and Gabriel Jesus rack up the points in the final game week.
I think he's a better captain choice for this week than he was for the game we've just gone. And I don't know if I said
Well, you can say that now, can't you?
Well, I felt it at the time because, like, he wasn't a player who was playing consistently. He wasn't playing every single game. And you would think, right, if you're going to play him in either of those last two matches, are you going to let him have the send-off at home or are you going to play him in a game away and it's not significant? For me, it felt like it would probably be a decent... I think it's a good Hail Mary shout for this weekend, to be honest. Cool, then. Let's look at our own teams, then, for game week 38+, which, obviously, being the last game week, there's probably not a whole lot... And none of us have any of the special little buttons left, do we? You don't have any free hits or triple captains or anything like that. No. Sam, do you want to kick us off? Have you made any changes?
No. I'm going to start Martinez in goal rather than Henderson. And I might have a little bit of fun. I might take Salah out. David Silver in. But apart from that, yeah, the lads that have powered through lockdown will be the lads that ascend onto that to raise that trophy. In my lounge, no fans. Same as Liverpool, basically.
You know, a dog agreeing with you there, supporting you in the background. Is that your?
Is a enormous fan of David Silver.
Cool. I've gone for a little bit of an unorthodox one, I guess, this week. So I've got three defenders at the back who are all Liverpool players: Van Dijk, Gomez, and Robertson. I'm missing the Liverpool player I really would like, which is Trent Alexander-Arnold, who I think has a pretty good shout for being the player of the season in the Premier League. But I've gone for those three because, to be honest, it's a very similar tactic to what I did the game we just gone, which worked out really well, which is put in defenders who are playing against Newcastle because we're really crap at scoring. So I'm back in that approach once again. I know that Liverpool are away from home and they're not as strong away from home, but, you know, Newcastle do not look like a team that is going to be free-throwingly scoring goals. I was actually talking to a Brighton fan while the game was going on, the Brighton-Newcastle game, and I couldn't believe he had it on in the background. Like, in a million worlds, would I put on that Brighton-Newcastle match. Because I said to him at the start, it's going to be a 0-0. Like, it'll be a terrible 0-0. And lo and behold, terrible 0-0. And I think it'll be... I might watch the game at the weekend, but I'll probably have Leicester United on because I think that'll be more interesting. But... I just don't see any way that Newcastle are going to score against that Liverpool team. Even though they conceded three during this midweek, you know, Chelsea are a very different team to Newcastle. So I'll probably, hopefully, get a few points racked up there. My captain, I've already said, is going to be Aubameyang. I've got some strongish players in midfield with Fernandes, Willian, De Bruyne, Foden, Kane, Greenwood, and Edison, and make up the rest of my team. I might make a transfer, but if I do, it probably will be the first sub or someone like that. So nothing too glamorous. I just need to be steady and hold off Dave in these final few moments.
Strong team, that, mate.
I thought so. Dave, have you got to try and usurp me?
Well, I think transfer-wise, I'm going to, obviously got my free transfer, I'm going to replace De Bruyne with Sterling and gamble on that Sterling will play and produce something. So the rest, that's my one transfer, really. And then shifting around the rest of the team is a little bit like, can't wait for the season to be over to start over with this side. So I've got Gaeta in goal for Palace. Obviously, they face Tottenham. Gomez and Trent and Stevens at the back. Sheffield United against Southampton. Hoping Stevens can rack up some points in that game. Southampton have been pretty good, though, so who knows. Fernandez, Martial, Sterling and David Silva would be my midfield. Gabriel Jesus, Danny Ings and Mason Greenwood up front. So it's the 3-4-3 as standard. And that's pretty much because my bench is woeful. I've got Saka, who's, an option. Arsenal playing Watford, so potentially throw him in. But my midfield's pretty strong anyway, so I could maybe drop one of the strikers and drop him in. But then it's Lundstrom and Bowley. Again, that Chelsea-Wolves game, it's too much of a gamble for me. I'm not 100% on how that's going to go. You could just see Chelsea score. Chelsea proved last night against Liverpool they can certainly score goals. So, I don't have a great deal of faith in Wolves on that one. So, yeah, there's still a few question marks over it, but that's roughly our lineup. I'll either drop a striker and put Saka in as well and hope to gain some extra points from him against Watford.
Did you say who you were going to captain? I might have missed that if you did.
I didn't. Captain. I might stick with Silva. I think it's a bit all in on him, really. I think he's certain to play and you'd like to think he would do something. When he plays, he usually does something, so... Mm.
David should be applauded.
Pardon?
I like that bravery. It should be applauded.
Yeah. I've kind of resigned myself to finishing last now, though. Even though there's only 10 points between myself and Miles, it's that free hit that week, it's taken it out of me.
A real dagger blow to your momentum.
Yeah. I've already started drafting a statement to my... my loyal followers.
A real apology. Apology statement.
Well, it's not so much an apology. It's more kind of aimed at the players and the coaches of the Premier League, really.
They've let me down.
Yeah. It's not me, it's you.
You know, probably not more than 4 weeks ago, you were starting up for the pod and you were all getting giddy. So you're like, I'm coming for you. It's on. I've got this. I'm coming back. And yeah.
You were genuinely worried, though. I could sense it from you. You were worried.
Well, I was just playing to the narrative, mate.
Right, then, on that note, Dave, Sam, thanks very much for joining me from your homes today. Podcast listeners, YouTube viewers, you can get in touch by tweeting your fantasy football thoughts with the hashtag UKFFS. Join us next week for one final episode where we'll look back on the stars of the season and laugh at our terrible, or brilliant, but mostly terrible, predictions.
Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, follow on Spotify, or however you listen to podcasts on your favourite platform. Leave a review if you liked it, and if you didn't, what are you still doing here? Check out Goal for your daily dose of football news from the Premier League and around the world. Thanks for listening.